Greetings and welcome to the podcast. I'm Pete Lorimer, former hit record producer and now owner of LA's most creative boutique real estate firm, PLG Estates. On the podcast, you're always going to find business and real estate strategy, marketing techniques, and tips for the entrepreneur. On this week's episode, it's a very special one because I'm going to give you the unedited version of the keynote speech I just had in Detroit, Michigan at the WCR conference. I cover absolutely everything, so pull up a chair and thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, mate. Put me coffee there. Thank you very much. I love the title, Kelly. How to be a rockstar agent. No pressure, right? So, how to be a rockstar agent, right? Or as I like to, it's so funny, I never know what I'm gonna get until I get here. And this is quite posh. This is quite posh, right? You know, I was in the hotel room and I'm like, ooh, what should I wear? Should I wear a shirt? And I put a button-down shirt on. And then I'm like, nah, it's probably going to be a big old room and everybody's going to be far away. And you're right here. And I wore my Kill Vanilla t-shirt, which is, anyway, we'll get there. I have a lot to go over. Some of your noses might begin to bleed after a while, because I'm gonna get really deep down in the weeds with this stuff. I am going to vomit every secret I've ever had. I'm gonna show you exactly what I've done. And how to be a rockstar agent, or as I like to phrase it a different way, is how to rise above the vanilla vomit of real estate that is everywhere. Right? Everything in real estate, for the most part, there are exceptions, is very generic and very vanilla and very safe and very trying to please everyone all the time, right? So I'll give you a little bit of a thank you for the intro, by the way. That was bang on, wherever you are, sir. There you are. I was brought over here. In fact, I have to give Detroit massive, massive props because you are one of the reasons I live in the United States. What? Yeah. So, back in 1985, there was a bloke by the name of Steve Silt Hurley that came from Chicago that came out with a record. Is there any old ravers in here? Put your hands up, don't be embarrassed. No ravers. One raver! Do I see any more? One raver going once, going twice, just one raver. Jackie Body by Steve Silt Hurley. House music, ooch, 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 that stuff, right? And then Derek May from Detroit created techno, or really brought techno to the forefront, right? When I was in school, I was a classical musician. I used to play trombone. I actually went to the Royal College of Music as an exceptional student, really young, 13. And I'm in this I'm touring with this orchestra, and I hear this ooch, 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 ooch. And I'm, screw the trombone, I'm gonna have to do that. So I dropped out of high school, moved to London, not knowing a soul, of course walked straight into a recording studio, no. Ended up working in the lingerie department of this tacky clothing store on Oxford Street in London, lied about my age. But Detroit and Chicago are the reason I got into music, and that's what brought me to the United States in 1993. I had a load of hits in the UK, and then I came to LA in 1993. I was a songwriter for EMI Music, wrote a bunch of hits, produced a bunch of records, had a load of over 30 number ones in the Billboard Club charts. And then I'm like, okay, well, house music's great, but I don't want to be standing behind the turntables when I'm 50, DJing a club at 3 a.m. So I did well, and I took that money, and I plowed it into what I thought was very undervalued real estate in Los Angeles, not really knowing what I was doing, but this is a very large part of what I do. I never get more. If I get 60% certainty, that's good enough for me. If I'm 60% the way there, I'll figure out the rest. And I figured, it kind of feels like everything's low. My brother lives in Sydney. My mum lives in England, and their houses are way, way, way more than they are in LA. So I started pushing money into LA property. because I was a creative, all these creatives kind of came out and said, what are you doing? Can we invest with you? And before one thing led to another, I got my license because my crowd didn't trust suits, right? They just didn't. All my crowd were the electronic music guys. And anybody in a suit meant like accountant or somebody getting served with something. Both of whom were not popular. And so I'm like, okay, this is brilliant. So I started working with all my mates and then I joined Keller Williams. And then Keller Williams, God love them, not knocking Keller Williams. They're a good company. But they said, you know, you can't wear that stuff, you know, this stuff and this stuff. And they said, you need to wear a suit and a shirt and shoes. And I hadn't worn a suit in my life, right? I don't think I'd worn a suit once. And so I'm like 36 and I'm putting on this suit and I felt like I was in like a leather bondage suit. It was just like so tight and horrible. And I wasn't myself. And my wife, who is a very, very large part of my story. And I said to Cindy, I'm like, I can't do it. I said, I can't do it the way they want me to do it. If I do, I would rather drive a bus. I would rather drive a bus because I was miserable. I was wearing clothes that I wasn't comfortable. And I'm not knocking people in suits. If you wear suits and you love wearing suits, God love you. Right? I love wearing this clubber, right? And occasionally I'll wear a suit, but I just don't feel like I'm me. If you feel like you're, like this gentleman's lovely dressed, if he feels like him in that, there you go, round of applause. There you go. If he feels good in that, God love you. So that was the genesis of what happened, of the explosion. So I said, F this, I'm gonna do it my way. Rolled in the next day, hip hop shorts on, sneakers, right, Metallica t-shirt. My manager looked at me and said, ah. I'm like, don't ask. And I just set off on my merry way because I didn't care if I failed or succeeded because I had to do it my way, right? If I failed, I'm like, okay, great. I'll go drive a bus or I'll go open an espresso bar in Vietnam or I'll, you know, do something, right? Not worried. And that intuition, that little voice, is what has guided me, and we all have it. I just think it may be the quietest voice within us. What happens when a great idea comes into my head is it goes, I've got a really good idea, and it's this. And then all the other voices go, no, that's stupid. Everybody will hate it, and don't do it. You look like a moron. And so what I do is I just squeeze out all the other voices, and I listen at that little tiny Mrs. Doubtfire voice that whispers to me, right? And it's never led me astray. Okay, 2018, benchmark year. Benchmark year in real estate, right? There is certainly in California, there is a fracturing of the market. There is a fracturing of the way business was done and the way it's being done now. What do I mean by this? I mean that I was talking to Kelly earlier, I straddle a generation that came from the more formal and the more corporate into the now, to the 2018s. And I feel back in the day, people liked that, almost like there was a veneer. There was a veneer between you and the client. What I have discovered, and this is just how I do it, I'm not saying it's the right way to do it, it's just how I do it. I made a point of smashing down that veneer, and I made a point of running to my tribe. I'm gonna talk about this a lot later on. Running to my tribe means, in real estate, I found that everybody, all the companies that I was at and all the agents that I looked at kind of did a shotgun approach, trying to attract anyone, right? It's like a big old net, and whoever you catch, great, that'll do. So in order for you to appeal to that huge net that you trawl, we have to play in the middle. We have to be somewhat vanilla, right? What I found was I didn't want to play in the middle. So I just had a really narrow niche that I went after really hard, thinking that if I went after the cool kids' friends would want to work with me, and then the cool kids' friends of friends would want to work with me. And that gamble, which I took in 2005, really before social media took off, paid off in spades. Paid off in spades. And I'm going to go over all the sorts of techniques, because everybody in here has got outside interests. Give me some outside interests that you've got. Anybody, somebody yell out. You in the nice clothes there, sir.
DJ.
All right, pimp. Better be house music. No, you're a hip-hop guy, huh?
All of it.
You like all of it? Cool, man. Good on you. Anybody else? Play in a band. Good. Anybody like golf? Wow. Okay. All right. So there's a whole bunch of outside interests that I'm going to show you how you can, these are big words for me, authentically and genuinely show who you are in a vulnerable way. Because I was like, okay, I'm going to be super vulnerable and put it all out there. My political beliefs, my this, my that, all of the stuff they tell you not to do. And I'm like, and this is a really important phrase that I want to give you. The reason why I feel like we try and appeal to a mass audience is because we don't want to piss anyone off, right? We don't want to offend people. I guarantee you, sound like Earl Scheib, I guarantee you that for every person you lose, you'll gain 10. That's what I found. For every person that says, you know, or thought I was too scruffy, or, you know, I swore too much, or, you know, I swear a lot at showings. The F-bombs are going to probably come out later. I'm holding back. It's a posh crowd, and you're really close. But I tend to swear a lot. It's just me. Being a rock star agent isn't just all about swallowing around backstage, hanging out with rock stars. That was part of it for me. But at the end of the day, it is grind. It is hard friggin' work. Who here is putting in 10 hours a day? Come on. Very easy to kind of get up with the best of intentions, 7 o'clock. Oh yeah, just watch a bit of telly and, you know, I'll have my breakfast. And oh yeah, yeah, 10 o'clock. Okay, I'll make 3 phone calls, right? And then I must check that escrow. And then I'm going to go meet Deirdre for lunch. And then you meet Deirdre. And then before you know it, really the amount of grind that we do, it's very easy to do 2 hours a day and it feels like a full day. For me, being efficient with time is a very big part of what I do as well. And I'm going to get into it. For me, being a rock star agent is no fake, no bullshit. No telling people what you think they want to hear. Looking them in the eyes and saying, hey, Bob, I know you love this place, but I think it's dog shit. You need to not buy this house and let's move on. Right? And when you do that, Bob goes, what do you mean? And I'm like, no, I'm not buying it. And if you want to buy it, somebody else can write the offer, mate. I'm out. And then I found when I've been as direct as that, obviously there's a few words either side of that. You don't just say that one sentence to them. I've found when I've been super direct like that, and spoken my mind as Peter, not as Peter the real estate agent, people have really reacted to it very well, and they've told all their friends, you know, we walked in a place and he said dog shit. You know, I got to work with that guy. So then they turn me on to 10 of the mates. At the end of the day, we are peddlers, not of houses. That's just a kind of like a byproduct of what we do. We're peddlers of trust, compassion, empathy, and hope. And for me, those are the arrows in my quiver that I focus on. More than anything, I put whatever is in my client's interest dead first, and whatever is in my interest or my company's interest dead last. And as long as I keep as much air in between those two as possible, I'll be all right. And that's what allowed me, after leaving Keller, me and my wife, we stood outside a nail salon that was probably about half the size of this room, and I remember looking at Cindy and saying, we're going to sink or we're going to swim, but we're going to do it our way. And we opened our doors with one agent. Now we have 3 offices with 200 and opening a 4th, maybe a 5th and a 6th. Oh. Yeah, who needs sleep? All right, so how did I break through? Because there was a massive shift on how my job was finding business and also finding agents. So the method I'm going to talk about works for both. The only thing that we have that is unique is what? Ourselves. So I was like, I tried all the other methods. I used the templates and I used all the graphics and I used all the just sold and the this and the that and the that are given to me. And I'm like, you know what? It feels like I'm blending in. And my mantra is, if you don't blend in, you stand out. And so my thing was, I want to charge really hard at video. At PLG, I had probably about 40 agents for about, maybe 40, 50 agents for about 5 years, right? Because I was still finding my way. And I'm like, okay, now I've got my own company, and okay, it's this, and I tried all these methods, and I tried cold calling, oh my God, it was, and I'm like, you know what, this just isn't vibing for me. Again, I had that I'd rather open an espresso bar in Vietnam feeling. And so I'm like, okay, video. I'm a big believer in video. It's the one frontier in real estate that has not been captured, right? Nobody's dominating video in real estate. So I'm like, okay. So I started doing house videos, which we have to do. We have to do house videos. But then I'm like, you know what? I want to go behind the curtain. And I specifically reverse engineered videos that I thought people would watch regardless if they are involved regardless if they involve real estate or not. So I want to show you an example of where I've got to. I just started a new YouTube channel. This one's already got 7,500 hits. It had about 20,000 on the other channel already. So I'm going to start with this one.
But it's snowing just a little. As my mother would say, it's drizzling, just a tad.
How long have you lived in Brooklyn?
25,
26
years.
How old are you?
26. All right. So I'll send Kelly links to all these so you can watch them. Now, I bet some of you are thinking, what's this got to do with real estate? Right? What's this got to do with real estate? Nothing. It's got nothing to do with real estate. But what it's got to do with is all of my crowd. All of my mates and my 5,000 contacts, I push that too, right? I'm going to get into this later, but does anybody know what custom audiences are? Okay, custom audiences are, you should write that down and go on. I have a secret. Was anybody at the Chicago one last year? Okay, good. So I can use the same joke. You were? Oh, okay. So you've heard this. All right. Oh, in all seriousness, no, I've got a website for you where you can find everything. Right, please do not give this website out. It's just for you today. Has everybody got a pen?
Yeah.
All right, write this down, please. Website is www.youtube. Okay? YouTube. So go on YouTube and look up Facebook custom audiences. It is the secret sauce that has propelled my business into the stratosphere. Right? What it is this. I'll give you in a nutshell. Custom audiences allow me to take a database, all the people I've worked with, and the forgotten children, past clients, right? We take all of our names and we put them in an Excel, we upload them to Facebook, and we create Bob's client base, right? And it lives in Facebook. So when I do a video, people on Facebook think it's being shown to everyone. It isn't. It's just been shown to my people, right? Then I can see who's watching it, who isn't watching it, and I can also then, we all got a prospect. This to me is a digital bus bench, right? So that when I speak to agents and I speak to clients, they'll be like, oh, I just saw your thing in New York, it was great, really liked it. Right? I've just broken down that barrier. So when I'm calling my A's, my B's, which are my best mates, right? My A's are my best mates. My B's are the people I kind of know. My C's, ooh, I might know your name if I see you in the supermarket. D's, no clue. Right? But when I'm calling these people, and by calling, I mean contacting, DMing through Facebook Messenger. I'm going to get into that as well later. But when I'm reaching out to these people and I look at my call sheet for the day, and I'm like, ooh, every single name on that list, every single name, I look at it and I'm like, no, they don't want to hear from me. They don't want to hear from me. I haven't spoken to them in years. They've probably forgotten who I am, right? But I just listen to Mrs. Doubtfire that says, you need to call everybody on the list in order, right? And so I just go through and people go, oh, hey, Pete, what's up? I just saw your video in New York, or I saw the video in Utah, or I saw this. And it's a way of breaking down barriers. And that, when I left Keller Williams, I was the number one KW agent in LA County. My business has quadrupled since then. It's quadrupled. And it's due in sole part to this. Now, this looks super slick and super produced. I'm going to show you The very first video I did. It's embarrassing.
Hey, Casey, what's up, mate? I wanted to try this new system of communicating with my clients through video.
Oof. Yeah. Oh, it's awful. So, I mean, it's painful to watch. It's painful. But that was the very, very first one, right? But Mrs. Doubtfire kept saying, nobody's doing video. Nobody was doing, I'm going to stop with the Mrs. Doubtfire thing. Nobody's doing video, and I knew that what I like to do is I like to find the white space in an area that's super saturated. So how can one go into a city that's dominated by really successful agents for a few decades and find a space where you can attract business that nobody else is in? I mean, there's still very few people in this space in real estate. I'm showing you this to say, fight through that insecurity, fight through that self-hate, in my case. Fight through that nobody wants to hear from me. Fight through all of it, because the one medium that still carries more weight than anything is video. Who's done more than 5 in a month? One slow hand at the back. Okay. See what I mean? I'm in a room full of realtors, and there's only one person that's doing 5. So if you're, and it's all about content. Content is king. Content is king. People are going to want to know about you. I'm going to talk about homeboy over here. What's your name, mate?
Andrew.
So Andrew's a DJ, right? A lot of his mates who are probably around 30 thinking about buying a house, right? Have you posted anything about being a DJ?
Not lately.
Okay. When you do, what happens? Bingo. And that wasn't a setup, right? Bingo, bullseye. When you post stuff about real estate, you get, you know, your 5 likes, your 10 likes, a comment here and there, well done, congratulations. But when you post about you DJing, you probably get 20, 30, 100 comments or likes or whatever, right? And those are the people that already like you, so they probably trust you. And so the chances of them working with you are exponentially higher than knocking on doors. Knocking on doors to try and find someone who randomly that day is in a good mood to let you in to talk about selling their house. I mean, the odds, I once did the odds of it in a block. The odds of finding a house to sell run around 10,000 to 1, right? Now, we all know people that do it day in, day out. 10,000 to 1. To knock on a door takes, what, 15 minutes? 10 minutes? Right, between walking to the next one and the next one. If you deploy a quarter of that time into making a video, the next time you DJ, have one of your mates or your girlfriend come along with a camera, you know, put on a little lav mic, record the audio, do it, chop it together, even if it's crap, put it out, see what happens.
How often should you do video then?
Monday's Monday Mantra. Tuesday is Lattes with Lorimer. Wednesday is now the podcast. Thursday is the vlog. Friday is a new series, just because I had a spare day, so I thought I'd put one in there. Inside the Mind of a Creative, where I interview like rock stars and musicians and stuff. Saturday is A Life and Times. Sunday is recording stuff for the week. Now, and I also work a 10-hour day, right? So from 10 to 6, is that 8 hours? 8 hours. From 10 to 6, I am on call for clients and agents, right? All day, every day, weekends too, right? So I get up at 4, 4:30. I go in the studio and I work from 5 to about 8. Then I drop the kids off. Then I come back and I work from 8:30 to 10. Then from 10 all the way through to 6, I'm working at PLG, have dinner with the kids. And then from about 8 to 10, I'm in pre-production for the following day. And I do that every single day. Every single day. And you know what? I love it. I don't even feel like it's work. You know, I get up and in the beginning, when I first started doing videos, I'm going to play you another one. When I first started doing videos, I hated it because I thought they looked awful. So I'm going to play you an example of a real estate video that got a lot of hits.
It's a free-for-all. It's the...
Okay. So, again, now this one is directly correlated with real estate. There is a blend. We can't just all do DJ stuff. What we need, the magic elixir is showing people who your true, authentic, vulnerable self is and what you love, right? If you love nasty gangster hip hop, right? If you love that shit, be out and proud, right? If I like really horrible death metal, I'm gonna be doing death metal reviews on Facebook, right? And I don't care who it offends. Or if you like ballroom dancing or golf or playing in a band. Because the people that are most like, I'm all about referrals. I'm all about working your sphere. I'm all about, I would much rather work with my friends. Friends are friends. People I kind of know, people I sort of know, and people I don't really know who you are. Rather than, the real estate industry seems obsessed with finding strangers. We seem obsessed with finding strangers one after the next. Right, Zillow, yeah, here's a bunch of shit strangers that I've got no, you've got no leverage over. You know, that'd be like, give me $4,000 for this month, yeah? For these 68 shit leads that want to buy a house in Detroit for $30,000. Right? Yeah, okay, sure you don't want 45? Right? I hired a cameraman for this, right? It cost me $300. Right, a postcard run is what, 1,000, 1,500, right? What's the other thing about this and postcards? What's the big difference? One and done. Postcards are in the trash. This is evergreen. I can slice this into 10 pieces of micro content and I can put them out over the next 3 years and people won't know when it occurred. So I've now got in this, which is, it's about 7 minutes long. I got 7 juicy minutes of Instagram that I strategically pushed to my crowd, right? And unlike postcards and letters and random shit, I could see who's watching, right? It's like, let me ask it this way, and this is, forgive me for being contrite, if that's a word, trite. If I could tell, if I could point all of you, this gentleman in the, with the maroon shirt on, with the tie on, if I could, what's your name, sir?
Jim,
if I could point you to a website that had the list of all your clients on it, that were gonna, that and 80% of your clients were gonna buy and sell, would you go to that website to look? 100%. Would you pay for that website? Right, me too. Well, it exists, and it is called Bleeding Facebook. Right? Everybody you know is on Facebook, right? There is also, I think you guys might have it here. If you don't, you need to speak to your MLS. There's a company called Remine. Do you know Remine? You've got it, right? Okay, we're just getting it in LA right now. PLG is beta testing it. Remine, delicious. Remine is gorgeous. Remine is a data mining company, right? Here's how I like it, because I like working with my base, my 5,000 people that I know. So for Jim's, Jim? So what Jim would do is take his 5,000, 2,000, 1,000, 10,000 database, upload it into Remine, and Remine will give you a list of all the people that are gonna buy and sell that year. So this is beautiful, but here is the problem, and I'm gonna get into big data, I'm bouncing around. Big data means now everybody's gonna have the same list as Jim. So now 100 other realtors are also gonna be mining his clients that are most likely to buy and sell. So what does this mean more than anything? And this is why 2018 is a benchmark year. It means we gotta stand out. It means we gotta be individual. It means that we need to stop talking about real estate over and over and over again. We need to start talking about what we like. We need to show kids in baseball games, we need to do our vacation holidays, we need to put videos up, we need to be vulnerable, we need to show ourselves, well, I was gonna say in a bathing suit, but you'd have to do that. But the whole point is this, creating a, real estate agents tend to be pretty two-dimensional, right? Not you guys, present company excluded. But real estate agents, we're kind of two-dimensional, right? We're kind of similar to insurance people or bankers and all of that stuff, which there's nothing wrong with. what I have made a point of and what I do with my tribe, my PLG agents, the Island of Misfit Toys, I say, be whoever you are. Be a 360-degree person. Don't care about anybody's opinion of you. The only opinion you need to care about is your own. If you want to roll up, talking to a guy, if you wanted to roll up to an open house wearing a tutu and Dr. Martin boots with a Mohican, if you believe that's how you should go there and you don't have mental problems, if you believe that resonates to you and you're all in, I say go for it. People always ask me what's in the bag. So I'm going to give you the basics of what you need to start filming. All you need is an iPhone, right? I'd get the newer one if you've got an iPhone 7, 8, or 10. You're in business. And then I would highly recommend getting a lav mic. This is a Rode, R-O-D-E, lav mic that I plug into a recording device. You don't even need this. You can get a much cheaper one. This is $250. It's a Sony. If you've got a spare phone, you can put the spare phone in your back pocket and it can record into that. People can be very forgiving with video, but with bad sound, they will not forgive you. The moment you have bad sound on your video, we all have this one. Here I am at 123 Green Street, and he's like, it's so echoey and boomy, and your hand's shaking, and no need. The iPhone capabilities of recording video are mind-blowing, and so is the Samsung. And you have already upped your game by exponentially. I would say maybe 1 out of 10 videos I see has great sound. So prospecting through video. I'm gonna give you some massive, massive tips right now. We all pick up the phone, we all send emails, we all send texts. Try and flip that to prospecting through Facebook Messenger. Why? Because when you prospect through Facebook Messenger, Facebook, Big Brother, is watching. And so the people that you converse with, it deems you are valuable to each other. So people you're having conversations with that you would normally do through text or through a phone call, try doing it through Facebook Messenger, because then that means every time you put up a piece of content, the person that you're having conversations with will see your content first. This is like digital bus benches. Here's another one. Prospecting using video. You can use video in Facebook Messenger or on a Samsung or on an iPhone, you record a video message. You record a video in here. Hey, Bob, this is Peter. Just wanted to check in. Hope you're doing well. Hope the leg's good. Hope the dog's good. And sorry your wife left you. Okay? It's in a little video. Now I send that to a prospect I haven't spoken to in a long time via text. Because of beautiful and yummy Apple technology, the text won't appear in the person I've sent it to's feed unless it's fully downloaded. So gone are the days of you hit play and it just rotates, 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 rotates. No longer. Every time you send a message through Apple, it will only show up when it's fully downloaded in their phone. So this is a brilliant way to prospect, right? Because nobody picks up the phone. I mean, they don't in LA. Do people pick up the phone here?
No.
Okay, nobody picks up the phone in LA. So what I do is I'll send a video and then I'll send a text saying, I just sent you a video. And to be totally psycho, I will send them an email as well. Wasn't sure if you were in range. I sent you a couple of messages via text. Let me know you got them, right? Now, why do I send 3 messages? Because I want them to know I know they got the message. None of this, well, I didn't get the message, I'm sorry. I want them to know that I am fully aware that they've got the message. And again, on an iPhone, it says delivered. And it also says read if they don't respond. Again, I'm tracking my data. I'm removing the random acts of real estate. And I'm using my time as efficiently as I possibly can, right? Okay, let's get into some social media because I've done a lot on video. If I've got time, I'll come back to video. Social media, oh wow. This is a subject I am profoundly passionate about. I watch it intently, literally every single day. Every single day I am researching what's going on. I'm looking at what comes out on a daily basis, not just in real estate, but I'm looking at what comes out in technology, what comes out in trends. I watch influencers. I look at everything. If you want to find top 10 influencers for real estate, just Google it or go on YouTube. It will give you a list of people that you can just sift through. Content is king. It's all about your content, right? Who? I hope every single hand goes up. We're all doing Instagram, right? Yeah. Is anybody not doing Instagram? I'm not here to mock you. It is the most targeted, beautiful, delicious app that allows you to track your clients' movements, right? Instagram is quick. I find Facebook really noisy. I gotta go through all this crap to, you know, see who I wanna see. It's just noise, right? But it's still a very powerful instrument, so I still use it. But Instagram is the way that you are gonna connect with your client base fast, quick, and easy. The way that I have prospected, and I still prospect, is if I'm not using Facebook Messenger, I'm using the DM, the direct message on Instagram. Does everybody know what that is? Does anybody not know what that is? Okay, Instagram, it's the app with all the lovely photos on it, right? It's got photos and videos. There is a way that you can then send a private message to your people. The thing I love about using the DM rather than emails is everybody who uses Instagram is on Instagram 20 times a day. So I know they got my message, right? And it can be this. You're scrolling through, you've got those peripheral clients, your C's and your D's, and you just want to figure out a way to connect. Here's Bob again, and he's off in the woods, you know, cutting down a tree. And you see, he posts an Instagram picture. You're like, damn, I've been wanting to get hold of this guy. Hey, we were just there the other week hiking with the wife and kids. Love to connect with you this week, Bob. Let me know when you're free. Now, there is another thing that just occurred with Instagram, which is so great for realtors. You know now that you can follow a hashtag, right? A hashtag is a category, right? So I'm going to get really down in the weeds here. So take a slurp of coffee if you need it. A hashtag is a searchable thing. For example, luxury real estate, hashtag luxury real estate. You click that, all the luxury real estate posts come up. Right? But now you can follow a hashtag like it's a friend. So what's the zip code here? Everybody should put that in their phone. Anybody farming this area? Somebody yell out a zip code they're farming. 48187. Okay, so you need to go on Instagram, see if that's a hashtag, and then every single person that posts in 48187, you need to be sending a comment to. Right? You need to be trying to create meaningful conversations with people through those hashtags. Here's another one. Selling my house. Some of them are going to be in the area. There'll be a hashtag selling my house. Or moving to Detroit. There's another hashtag. Moving from Detroit. Just divorced. New baby. It's endless. Right? So you can now get to these people instead of randomly knocking on doors in the hopes of you finding someone that wants to sell that day. You are now able to have conversations directly with these people, and you can do it all from your freaking armchair at home. There's no time wasted. Everybody who is successful at anything has learned it from someone else, right? I don't just sit in a vacuum thinking, how can I be creatively spontaneous? No, I watch millions of YouTube videos. I challenge some of your children, the amount of YouTube videos I watch. And I just do it because I want to pump my brain full of as much information as I can. Again, 2018 is a watershed year. I am here to encourage you all to plan out your social media for the week. Not every post. But if you can take time on the weekend to have some continuity, huge word in the world of attracting business, continuity. If you can have themes, Mondays something, Mondays whatever you want it to be, Tuesdays this, Wednesdays that, Thursdays this, Fridays that, your class. When I did Monday Mantra, right, I came up with Monday Mantra freaking 10 seconds before I hit live stream. I'm like, oh shit, I need to come up with a name for this. What is it? Monday Mantra. Yeah, that'll do. Boop. Welcome to Monday Mantra. Da, 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 da. And lo and behold, when I missed a couple of weeks, I had people pinging me going, where's the mantra? What's going on? It's Monday morning, 10 o'clock. What's going on? Where are you? And my mind was blown. This isn't real estate people. This is clients. So having a regular themed post, maybe not every day, but maybe twice a week, your clients are gonna love it. Hand of a golfer, please. Okay. So maybe, okay, you don't fit the golf mold, right? You're young and hip and lovely, and most people who play golf are, anyway. not young and hip and lovely. So imagine if you had a Friday, or let's think of Thursday, Tuesday techniques, right? Tuesday techniques, we'll call it. So every Tuesday, you're showing other young women who might be interested in golf, this is how you swing. I know nothing about golf. This is how you swing a four club. You grip here, you do this, and you smash, right? Make sure that you have follow through, right? And do X, Y, and Z, because I know nothing about golf. And then say, I'll be back next Tuesday with another Tuesday tips, or whatever it is, Tuesday techniques for other young women who want to get into golf. Guarantee you that's going to get traction, right? And then you have then run to your tribe, meaning all of the people that are logging in and watching, be like, oh, I'm so glad you posted that, and da, 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 da. You then begin meaningful conversations with. It's like we need to earn people's trust before we try and ask them for business. We need to give, right? We need to give stuff away. I give everything I know away freely and always have. And then I ask people for stuff. It's the best way. So spending, you might be thinking, I am so swamped at work. Why the F am I doing a goddamn video on stupid golf swings, right? Trust me, it will work. When it won't work is if you do two. But if you do 20, Instagram stories has been a massive, 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 massive hit for me. And my clients ain't 20. My clients are 45 through 70. And they're all on Instagram stories because they can't be bothered going through all the feeds. So they just click on me and they go, bop, 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 bop. Oh, cool. So that when I call them, they're like, hey, what were you doing practicing a golf swing, Pete? You don't play golf, right? And then it's just more points of conversation. Taking a past client out for dinner every Friday, right? Last thing you want to do on a Friday night is sit with a client, right? Last thing. And I remember me and my missus were like, what the fuck have we done? We barely know these people. Oh, we're like this in the car. Should we cancel? Right, every single time. And then we get there, we're like, hey, how's the house? Right? And then by the middle of the meal, you're like, oh, I can't even remember why I like these people, yeah? And then I don't drink, but my missus does, not much. But everybody kind of gets loosened up, and then you have a good time. And then what happens when you've bought them a nice $200 dinner? They tell all the mates, right? So for me, I would much rather invest. So hopefully everybody here is selling a house a month. If you're selling a house a month, you should be, the old school way of doing it was be sending out a blast of postcards around that house. Let's just call it $1,500. Let's call it $1,000, right? So I can categorically, and underlined in letters 10 feet tall, tell you that I have received way more business from people that I have taken out for dinner, directly or indirectly, than I ever received from postcards. Spending $200 on a dinner four times a month is still less than sending postcards, and I think it's generated 10x the business. I don't mention real estate at all unless they bring it up, and then I say at the end of the dinner, hey, listen, if you know anybody who's looking to buy or sell, just throw them my way. What are they going to say? Yeah. Right? What are they going to say? Nah, you know, I've got someone. You know I worked with you, but thanks for dinner, but I'm, you know. No. They're gonna absolutely give you those referrals. Those of us who are MLS jockeys, within 5 years, we'll be out of business. Right? We just wait for leads to come in. We send them on the MLS. Most of us put them on auto mailer. if that's all we're doing, we're done. Because Redfin, we saw, now does a 1% listing. Right? We need to compete with Redfin. We need to have a value add. And the value add for me is the one thing that the robots, not that I'm against robots, I actually kind of like them. The one thing that all of the apps, they don't have is personality. The world has completely and utterly changed. The real estate industry has been hit by an iceberg. And frankly, most of it is the Titanic. And there are some of us that have seen that happen. And in 5 years, this industry is going to be unrecognizable, which is why I believe the value add, the biggest value, because we, let's face it, we all have honesty, we all have integrity, we're all gonna fight for our clients, right? We all say the same shit. Right? There's nothing new unique. There's nothing unique other than bang, or golfing, or raving. Oh, she was a raver. Right? The unique part about us, I believe, needs to be front and center. And then it's like, oh yeah, and I sell real estate too. So much of our identities has been wrapped up in that we're a realtor. Big deal. How many people here look at the posts of their dentist? I don't. Right? It's the same. Who follows their insurance man? Not me. Right? But if I see a guy who likes DJing passionately, and I'm somebody that's 30 or 28 or 40, and I'm in Detroit, and I don't really know him, but I see that he keeps posting about house music, and I'm thinking about buying a house, and I love house music, I'm going to be gravitated towards him, right? There's a trust factor there. This is why I got to work with all the Brits in LA, and I got to work with all of the entertainment industry in LA, because we were of the same tribe. Right? The best advice I can give you is this. How to be a rock star agent is not to blend in. Because the focus isn't just on real estate. I'm going to finish with this because I've gone way over, right? You can text me anytime you want. I will be glad to give away anything I know for free. I have so much more, but I think I probably better stop. It has been an honor and a privilege being out here in the 313 on 313. So thank you very much for having me, and I hope to see you all again soon. That's about it for the podcast for this week. Thank you so much if you hung in there all the way to the end. That was a monster. And I'm going to have lots more podcasts coming up, one every week. So don't forget to like and subscribe. I want to give a big shout out to Detroit, all the agents and the brokers that made me feel super welcome. And a big thanks to Kelly Smith from WCR Michigan. You're awesome. I'll be back again next week.